congratulations, and I was going to recognize first, we do have a number of people here to talk about the issue of homelessness. I was going to recognize them first, limit them to 20 minutes, then take oral communications on any other subject. And we have a very heavy evening tonight, so people don't have to go the full period of time, but I am going to recognize that first. Is that the subject you're here to speak to?
No.
I'm going to recognize that first to limit it cleanly and clearly to 20 minutes. It's 26 minutes till, so we'll go till 6 minutes to the hour. Sir.
My name is Paul Molitor III. I'm fresh off the boat from Santa Barbara after 40 years. I appreciate the clean air here and the drinkable water in Santa Cruz and Santa Barbara. The oil platforms came in. The hydrocarbons went under the inversion layer, and the sky is brown. The rents are a lot higher in Santa Cruz. Anyhow, what I want to address is the homeless problem. We had it in Santa Barbara. We still have it. It has been somewhat alleviated by public and private shelters and the lift of the sleeping ban. They did lift the sleeping ban in Santa Barbara. Now, there has been no influx of homeless people into Santa Barbara. The people here are... taxpayers, of which I am one, seem to fear that influx, but there are no statistics to prove that this would be the case. Now, there's no one easy solution to the problem. The problem won't go away. I've got suggestions, a 24-hour shelter or shelters. Now they're throwing the people out in the morning so that they can go out on the streets and panhandle. Why not a vocational, educational facility during the day? Some of the homeless could be good teachers. There's all sorts of skills that are not being used. The local merchants, I think, would appreciate it. Vacant buildings, buildable property, as I say, I don't know, I'm new here. The homeless, a lot of them might have construction skills. They'd be willing to work for their shelter. I know their building codes. I know there are construction union pressure. Codes are laws. They can be amended safely. Greed is harder to fight. The prejudice against the homeless is firmly entrenched here, and it's hard to fight, too. Give them a chance. I spent a little time at the homeless table, and I've spoken to some fine citizens of Santa Cruz, respectable people, good people. Why am I here? I am not homeless, unless you can call a St. Gorgeous Hotel a home. I got a roof over my head. I get $600 a month disability from arthritis. Half of it goes for rent. What do I have in common with the homeless? They are human beings. So am I. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Marion Sue Fisher. I don't like the homeless situation in Santa Cruz. Do you? This problem, these people, will not go away, despite inhumane and often cruel treatment. It is to our advantage to seek some solution and act. We have no alternative. Our policies, such as they are simply not working to anyone's satisfaction. I have three suggestions. One, lift the sleeping ban. In this country, with its history of human rights, we cannot arrest a person for simply closing his or her eyes. Criminalizing the homeless does not solve the problem, as we now know, and it costs a lot of money. Two, set aside 2 or 3 campsites for those people who cannot function in the regimented and institutionalized atmosphere inherent in a shelter setting. These campsites could be policed and improved by the homeless, answerable to a city agency. This measure has the additional feature of being cost-effective. And finally, expand the shelter program. A city with a homeless population of this magnitude cannot be adequately served by one shelter with 14 beds that is closed all day. One final word. How about communicating with cities that, unlike ours, have done something about this problem? I think you would find many of your fears groundless, such as the much-touted Mecca effect. Homelessness is a national problem. Our town is not being targeted, as some seem to think, for a homeless hangout. To paraphrase Police Chief Jack Bassett, you can't just abuse the homeless because it feels good and you like it. Thank you.
My name is Charles Gray. I reside in
Charles,
Santa
you
Cruz.
Can pull the microphone right up to
oh,
your
thank
mouth.
You.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that better? Okay. I appreciate the efforts that many people have made to speak to this issue of homelessness and to find some solutions. But I do believe that our solutions thus far are inadequate. And I have some principles to suggest regarding the homeless. This will be slightly redundant, but it's because I elaborate more on some of the points that have already been mentioned that there's some redundancy. One, homeless persons chosen by the community of the homeless should be part of any group making policies affecting the homeless. Two, present ordinances should be examined to see if they violate any basic human rights of the homeless. If so, the ordinances should be changed. I believe the camping ban is such an ordinance. It violates the basic human right and the biological necessity to sleep. The city council, I believe, has painted itself into a corner by making it a crime to sleep. You can try to do that, but you cannot rightfully nor practically enforce it. The solution is simple. Designate one or more legal places to camp. Until you do so, you will continue to violate this fundamental human right to sleep. Enforcing this law actually does deprive people of sleep, as you have witnessed by some of the people who have testified here. They obviously are suffering from being deprived of sleep. Think what this means. Now, sleep deprivation is recognized worldwide as a form of cruel and unusual punishment, indeed, as a form of torture. We are torturing our most vulnerable citizens. Three, voluntary homelessness is not a crime. Any community has space that can be reclaimed as a common, that can be used by persons wanting to shelter only in tents, vehicles, or other simple coverings. Four, involuntary homelessness should be treated as a community emergency. This would allow us to take extraordinary measures to assure shelter immediately for all who want it. Anyone who does not think that involuntary homelessness is an emergency should try sleeping on the streets for a few nights. I think they will quickly change their minds. If the community can take emergency action when our homes are destroyed by earthquakes or floods, it can do so whenever people are without shelter. Once the present emergency is dealt with by designating legal camping places, we can breathe a sigh of relief and turn our attention to our longer-range goals of creating a society in which the basic right to shelter is realized for all. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Paul McDonald, and I have something just brief to tell you. I'd like you, as city leaders and people who hold the purse strings, to quit thinking with your purses and start feeling with your hearts and deal with this problem. Because there's people out here hungry, and there's people out here who need shelter, and there's people who just need the basic rights. Their basic, basic rights. That's all. Thank you.
My name is Caroline Murphy, and I'm here to speak on...
Caroline, you can pull the microphone right down in front of your mouth. Yeah.
It is my belief as an employed student and taxpaying resident of this county, for 4 years, that we should give the homeless the basic rights that they want and they're demanding. They're not asking for a roof over their heads, money, or a job. They're simply asking for a place to rest unharassed. In a country which does not guarantee its own people the basics, such as food, a place to live, minimum health care, on the national level, it is our duty to help our citizens on a local level. Since the money that is spent on funding Nicaraguan Contras, SDI research, is not being used to help our homeless nationally, it is our duty to help. For example, instead of spending money on developing Westcliff Drive for the tourists, we should help our own residents. The homeless are organizing and they're getting extensive community support. I have a home, and when I haven't, luckily, I've had a place to stay. I've had friends to stay with. If you put yourself in their position, what if you didn't have a home? What if you lost all your money and you had no friends or relatives that were willing to put you in and you had to sleep on the floor? Would you want somebody to come and throw you in jail in the middle of the night? That's it.
Thank you. My name is Brian. I received a disability. I can afford 2 weeks to spend in any place in Santa Cruz. And after that, then I have to go out in the streets. And I'm terrified. I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to get any tickets. I just don't want to get busted. But I have to do that because my disability only allows me 2 weeks in this town. Check around. I get $600. That's all I can afford. It's 2 weeks in the motels in this town. Other than that, I have to go out in the streets and, you know, have to duck back in corners and go into the bushes. And I don't like it arrested. I don't want to go to jail. I'm terrified. And there's a whole lot of my friends here feel the same way. And that's what happens to us. We get arrested. We go to jail. We get tickets. We have to pay fines, which you can't afford. I can't. That's me.
Thank you.
My name is John Telfair. I think one of the basic problems is you folks on the administration of the city don't seem to show empathy for these people. I think the majority of the people on the council, there's a problem with a special interests. I mean, if you stop to think that probably you might be connected in some way with some group that has been used as scapegoats, with some groups that have been persecuted, and if you could put yourself in these people's place, it might help a lot. These homeless people, these poor people in this town are being discriminated against, persecuted, the way various groups have been persecuted and discriminated against and used as scapegoats in various societies throughout history. And it's not just in this town, it's this sort of thing is happening all over the country. And so I just ask you to do a little thinking about possibly your backgrounds. You possibly belong to some groups that have been victims of possibly sexism, possibly homophobia, possibly anti-Semitism, but possibly maybe classism. You have been victims or possibly members of your family have been victims of this type of cruel treatment. So just stop and think that these people, I think to a very large extent, are being used as scapegoats. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional comments.
Hi, my name is Jeff Bray, and I live here in Santa Cruz, and I'm not homeless, but I see some of the problems, we need to be a little more serious about, and that's, for example, the St. Francis Soup Kitchen. I see that they do feed the people, but they need to go a little bit further about getting people jobs and letting them know where they can go for help if they need mental help or whatever they need. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Tom Gardner, and when I first came to Santa Cruz to look over the city as a place where I'd like to live, I slept in my car, and this is over 6 years ago. And for a few days, I did have to take advantage of my car and use that. But now that I'm working and have a place where I'm paying rent, I wonder, it's hard to differentiate how I feel about this. I lived on Ocean Street Extension for a number of years, and every night you would see the people come down the street to go camp along the area. And when my car was there, it had been broken into. And also, I would run down Ocean Street Extension in the morning jogging. And whenever you get to the certain point where everyone's camping, I have to put up my feelers, like, okay, look over my shoulder all the time. You never know when there's going to be trouble. And it definitely made me feel uncomfortable with people camping all amongst the trees there when I did run down there. My father recently visited from Detroit, and he definitely noticed that Santa Cruz has a problem with the homeless. He was approached for change a lot while he was in the area, and now that I live on Lorenz Street, he was touring the community gardens behind our house, and he noticed the people camping in the community gardens right there behind Lorenz, and he felt uncomfortable. My dad feels different than I do. I can sleep in my car, but my dad would never think of doing something like that. The homeless don't particularly bother me, but my dad was definitely upset with seeing them around town. He noticed that Capitola didn't have any homeless people when he went down there. I had friends from Marin that were visiting, and they definitely noticed a problem. We went to Cafe Zeno in the morning to have coffee, and some people were huddled around one of the gas heaters because it was obviously cold in the morning. They asked us for money, and we said, I'm sorry, and they started hassling us some more. What I'm getting to is that when out-of-town visitors come here, they get a different impression. They might think differently than I do. I know that some of the people that have spoke are considered the homeless, and I consider myself I'm considered the homeless. I've had to sleep in my car. But I want to let you know that the impressions of my guests and family when they come and visit, they're obviously upset by it. I know there's no easy answers, but I wanted to throw that in, that something has to work out. For people that are homeless, camping is real easy for them. Other people don't look on it as favorably. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have about 4 minutes left for this subject.
My name is John Rayner, and I just live here in Santa Cruz. I don't ask for money, you know. I mean, I don't want to see, you know, big shelters going up that aren't, you know, that are taking money out of the taxpayers' pockets, that aren't helping it, you know, enough of the problem, that aren't solving enough of the problem. All I want is a place where I can sleep at night, where I'm not going to be hassled by the police, you know, whether that's a park or whether that's land that was set aside, you know. That's fine, just as long as, you know, I know that every night when I go to sleep, I don't have to be looking over my back to see if there's a police officer, you know, coming to grab me and my stuff. And that's all.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Casey, and I would just like to say that I think that the people have a right to have a place to stay. And if we are a nation under God, we need to recognize that God is in the hearts of the people that are around us. And everybody has a choice. And maybe you all have made the choice to work and have a place to live. And because of that, you maybe have comforts. And that's fine if that's the choice that you have made. Some people have chosen otherwise. Some people don't have a choice because they have problems, and we need to recognize those problems and help the people. And I think if we maybe set aside a place, it's a good opportunity to spend money for the people in our nation. It's a good opportunity for jobs, for people to work organizing it. Maybe there could be some kind of work study or some sort for people that wanted to stay there to keep it clean. I'm sure there are a lot more things to consider than that, because some people might have illnesses or something, but that, you know, that would something to consider anyway. But I think that getting a place is a really good idea. And if it worked, maybe, you know, it could be something that the whole nation would do in different places all over the country. I'm sure there's people in other states that need places to live also. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to recognize this as the last speaker on this subject.
My name is Frank Harrison. I'm a philosopher. I've been out on the streets here about a month, coming from New York City. And I would like to take up just briefly this business about scapegoating. Psychologically, that's an accurate problem. In other words, we don't, in this country, attack Jews. We don't put Japanese in concentration camps anymore. But we are bashing poor, destitute people. There are joys in destitution, and that can breed envy in people who have more money than they have joy. That wouldn't surprise any of us. The other word would be about compassion. The roots of compassion we know now come from our own child-rearing situation before we can remember it. Those in power in this city, beginning with the police that enforce around Capitola, we can tell a lot about their child-rearing modes based on the way that they enforce in their use of force. You can just about know you're complimenting your mother to the degree of nurturance you got by the compassion you have in your heart for others. Thank you.
Okay, that completes oral communications on the subject of homelessness, the camping ban, and now we'll move to any other oral communications on
John,
any
like
other
subject. I'd like to respond on this question.
Don't go away. Mr. Rotkin would like to respond on that particular subject.
We've responded to this issue before, and there are often new people that come to the council meeting, and therefore people don't necessarily understand what the point of view of the council is. I'm not sure I can speak for every member of the council, but I think it's important for us to try and articulate what our view of what's going on is and what we do believe and what we don't. I'll speak for myself, and I'll say what I think, and other council members can disagree with me if they choose to. I don't want to try and, as I said, say unnecessarily speaking for every member of the council. Obviously, homelessness is a serious problem in the United States. Nobody on this council, I don't think, would deny that. Nobody in the room would deny that. It's a growing problem in the United States. Not only homelessness, but a number of other kinds of social problems, and these problems have grown during since the 60s, and particularly during the recent administration, last 8, now 9 years. And at the same time that the federal government virtually cut off all support for any kind of social programs, totally decimated every single housing program at the federal level, and the state government cut back on all of its support for local governments in the area of social services and housing, this city council, since 1979, has increased the amount of money that it spends on social programs from about $80,000 a year to over $1 million a year. During just last year alone, we spent over $500,000 to get a shelter in the city of Santa Cruz. It's not the only shelter. When people say there's only 14 beds, that's not accurate. There's over 300 beds in shelters in the city of Santa Cruz. Some of those come from the private sector. Some of those come from different groups that provide them. The city also funds other shelters indirectly. We have one shelter that we bought the property for that has 14 beds that we hope to expand as the place gets rebuilt. It's in the process of being reconstructed. I think that there's still a need for more shelter space in the city of Santa Cruz. I don't think there's any question about that. We have not adequately provided the shelter that's necessary. I don't think there's any question that people should not be asked to live on $600 on disability. I don't think there's any question that there are people out on the streets with veterans benefits that are inadequate to meet the needs of people that have those kinds of benefits. But this is a small town. This is a town of just under 50,000 people, and it is not possible for us, without any federal support, without any state support, to solve these kinds of problems. Now, I don't think we can take the position that since the federal government and the state government doesn't give us enough money, it's not our problem, go talk to somebody else about it. I mean, I think that's an unacceptable response. But I think when a city expands tenfold the amount of money it spends on social programs, when the money that they're getting from the other agencies decreases to 10% of what it was before, and when we continue actively to find additional shelter space, that you can only ask so much from one city. The major disagreement that exists among a number of the speakers that got up here and have gotten up over the past several months before the council, having to do with the camping ban, I don't believe that the solution to the homeless problem in the city of Santa Cruz, I can't speak for other areas, there may be places where camping is a fantastic idea, but I, for one, just speaking for myself, don't believe that we live in the Wild West anymore, and that the notion that somehow people have a right to park their cars wherever they like and sleep in them is somehow a God-given right or a natural right or a right given to people by birth. I think people have a right to sleep somewhere. I think cities have to try and provide that. I think our society does a rotten job of providing it and should do better. But I think it's interesting that these protests are taking place at the one city in this county that provides a significant portion of its general fund for social services and not at the other three cities that provide virtually nothing for those kinds of services. That these kinds of protests are not taking place at Sacramento where the money's not coming forward or in Washington, D.C., and that it's even possible that someone like George Bush, who I gather supports these programs that have been supported under the Reagan administration, is possibly very likely, it looks like, be elected President of the United States in next month. So I'm sure people don't agree with what I said, but I'd at least like to articulate what my views are about the homeless issue. I don't think we've done enough. I think we have to do more. I simply don't think the camping solution is the way we should solve this problem in our city.
Thank you for your response. Okay, this is the time for oral communications for subjects other than homelessness and the camping ban. Sir?
My name is Dr. Richard Weinstein. Several weeks ago, Ms. Wormhout made slanderous and disparaging statements, the essence of which was that prostitutes will now work out of chiropractic centers as the houses of prostitution have been closed down. Numerous efforts have been made by chiropractors and chiropractic organizations, both at the state and local levels, seeking an apology and an explanation of Ms. Wormhout's remarks. Ms. Wormhout has steadfastly refused to be accountable for her statements. One can only conclude that either Ms. Wormhout feels she's above being accountable for her actions to her electorate, or that chiropractors and their patients have no voting rights or powers. It would seem that good government is based on open communication, and that if you were going to be a public servant, you have a right to serve the public at large and be accountable for things you say and do. So it's at this time I now ask Ms. Wormhout to be accountable for her statements and explain her comments that she had made.
And you need to, this is a portion for addressing the entire council, and you can make comments on this subject, but if you have to address anything, address me as mayor and the council, and that's the appropriate method of addressing the council right now.
Which means that we cannot gain response from any one particular member of the council?
Not necessarily, no, but you're free to have 3 minutes to talk about anything you want that's within the council's jurisdiction that's not on agenda tonight. So you're free to talk about what you just talked about, but under this portion of the agenda, we're not obligated to respond as a group.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming tonight. Then we'll now move to oral communications. This would be the opportunity for anyone to address the council on an item not on tonight's agenda. And I would hope that we could limit oral communications in its entirety to 20 minutes tonight. Okay.
Thank you. My name is Paul Molitor III, and I have a few parting shots at the departing city council. Any repetition of my previous remarks are for purposes of emphasis. Why can't you build 24-hour shelters using homeless people's labor or campgrounds? Why can't you incorporate vocational training into this program? Why can't you appreciate that the downtown merchants would love to get rid of what they consider the scuzzies who scare away their customers? Why can't you save the taxpayers' money by repealing the sleeping ban? It is probably as unconstitutional as loitering and vagrancy, which has already been declared unconstitutional. You can't punish people for being poor or for peaceably assembling. How can you punish them for sleeping? There are already sufficient laws to prevent trespassing, littering, public substance abuse, soliciting ad nauseam. Why can't you save the city money? Money that goes to pay police to arrest sleepers and demonstrators. They have enough to do protecting citizens from real crimes. Money and time for court costs, court clogs, to say nothing of the human misery involved. To repeat, let your conscience be your guide. Let's hope and pray that the new council has a better collective conscience. Now, I think I got about a minute left over. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Additional oral communications.
Yeah. Brian Koepke, address to City Council, Santa Cruz, November 1st, 1988. Legalize freedom. You, the City Council of Santa Cruz, are taking part in a national conspiracy to uphold laws which discriminate against the poor and impoverished. Your police and security people go into shops to actively solicit complaints against street people. You continue to support laws which make it essentially illegal to be shelterless. In order to earn enough money to pay rent in this town, it is necessary to enter the U.S. federal tax bracket. In this way, you are part of a national conspiracy to make it illegal to not support the federal government. A federal government which is out of control. I would rather eat bread off the streets than support a government which murders peaceful civilian populations in Nicaragua and El Salvador, as well as arming the world in preparation for World War III. The same federal government which continues its expansion of nuclear power and nuclear arms. Your laws make it essentially illegal to refuse and resist supporting a group of corporately controlled murderous demagogues. Legalize freedom. This has been an actual emergency warning from the real civilian defense system, the true believers in peace and freedom, who implore you to support war no more.
Additional oral communications tonight.
My name is John Telfair. I've spoken to you quite a few times. I believe this is the final meeting of this particular council. All I want to say is that I would appreciate it if you would at least try to hear the cry of the poor, the cry of the those that are oppressed by this society. Because if you don't, I think there will be consequences eventually that will not be very pleasant, not just here in Santa Cruz, but throughout this country. We were talking about the Soviet Union and about our sister city over in the Soviet Union. This country is beginning to look kind of bad compared with the Soviet Union. They're considered kind of a backward society, but as far as I know, they don't have this homeless problem over there. After the war, in which they lost 20 million people, they probably did have a homeless problem, but they don't seem to have it over there. And for America, which is, you know, probably the most affluent country in the world, to have this horrendous problem, which is growing by leaps and bounds as technology and the computer revolution throws more people out of work, our society becomes more and more specialized. I don't see where this situation is going to get any better. So I just want to state that I think we better start shaping up, because eventually it will catch up with us.
Thank you. Additional oral communications.
Hi, my name is John Macedo, and first of all, I would like to apologize for my drunken outburst about 2 months ago. Like, I lost my girlfriend, got in a fight, and I never should have showed up here. So I'm sorry about that. And I will continue to remind you every meeting the need for a campground and indoor shelter for people with problems. I am an alcoholic myself, and the hard streets can drive me to drink and others to drug. And I'll just keep reminding you every meeting. Thank you.
I have an announcement to make. One of the leaders of the homeless movement has just been hauled off by the police under a trumped-up charge in order to fend off a possible demonstration tonight. The ACLU, among other civil rights organizations, is being contacted. To the people of this city, is this how you want your city employees to handle legitimate dissent with Gestapo tactics? Thank you.
Additional oral communication.
My name is Malou Pinecrone.
You can pull the microphone down right in front of you. There,
okay.
Thank you.
I have on the wall of my house a piece of embroidery lovingly made by my mother when she was 12 years old. It reads, "Home is where the heart is." We've all seen this statement somewhere on a wall or in a book or whatever, a simple, wholesome prescription we know to be true. So my question is, are the homeless really homeless, or are they just houseless? And why are so many of us angry at people who choose to make their home without a house? Why is it so threatening? Why do we choose to force people's hearts into houses? Perhaps some people's hearts are bigger than any house. Perhaps some people's hearts need more than a house in order to fully express the love therein. And for those who are houseless by circumstance, why do we want to sweep them under Dominican's rug or force them out of town by means of torture and persecution? Have we become house idolaters? Do we worship the three-bedroom ranch and the 20-year mortgage so much that we must hold inquisition on the unbelievers and those who have fallen victim to these hard Reaganomic times? City Council members and citizens of Santa Cruz, I say to you now that until you open your hearts to the houseless, it is you who are the homeless.
Good evening. I'd like to say goodbye to all those that will be leaving after elections, first of all, and appreciate anyone else that has been
Rocky,
here.
Rocky, could you please identify yourself?
Yeah, my name's Rocky Stone. I live here in Santa Cruz, a longtime resident of Santa Cruz. Graduated from SLV up in the valley back in 69, did two tours in Vietnam, on and on. I've been an activist since 67. At this point, I'd like to inform you that there's a congressional investigation going on pertaining to the persecution of activists in the Santa Cruz area and other areas. It's going to be a pretty good one. I think, Mr. Lard, you'll be on the list for investigation. It was a pretty in-depth letter I received. We've been working on this for quite a few months. You can smile now, but I'm pretty sure when they get through with you, you won't be smiling then. These are good people, too. They're Democrats. And on the light note, Gray Whales Ranch. If the city of Santa Cruz and outlying areas wish to make Gray Whales Ranch into a state and federal park, they're going to have to reach out awful hard to the corporations and rich millionaires in the Santa Cruz area and outlying areas, because Proposition 70 will not cover all the funds to purchase the property as well as Wingspread. The money is going out to Big Basin, Big Sur, and also Monarch, which used to be Natural Bridges. Since I've started my activist work, I've been beaten up, I've been maced by police, I've been jailed. I was a political prisoner for 5.5 years over the anti-war mobilization against El Salvador. They trumped up a second-degree assault charge and locked me up in some pretty horrible places for 5.5 years. But since I got out 3.5 years ago, a lot of shit has happened to me here in Santa Cruz by police officers, brown shirts, on and on. And it's all going to come out in the congressional investigation. It's going to be a good one. And I don't need to tell you their name, because then you'll probably write them a letter and tell them that you're okay, and you're not. And on the other side of things, if you don't know this, they're marching tonight on behalf of the Mexican-American children that have died in the fields picking fruit from the pesticides. Second of all, the Christic Institute is holding a special benefit across the way. A lot of their people who I've been talking to for a long time and I've worked off and on for a long time with ever since the Karen Silkwood case are very concerned with a lot of the Santa Cruz Police Department's activities and the intelligence division. There's also a guy by the name of John Mahoney, or Mahaney, that was assigned to the Toll Busters by you, Mr. Laird. There's also a judge, Tom Black. We're trying to get him off the bench, too. He's a real jerk like you, Mr. Laird. And Ground Zero won't work, by the way. We have information to believe that on Election Day, the country is preparing for riots. I'm here to inform you on behalf of the VVAW, Vietnam Veterans Against War, Chicago headquarters, local VVAWs, Earth First, the Alliance to Stop First Strike. It don't matter anymore. as of November 9th, officially at 12 noon, the revolution in this country starts. And look for resistance in every corner, everywhere. That's official. Thank you for your time tonight.
We've got about 7 more minutes for oral communications if there's anyone that hasn't addressed the council yet.
Honorable Mayor, members of the board, I'd ask for an extension of 20 minutes as was granted to these people, please. My name is Jesus Santos. I've been a member of this community for 7 years, living in the streets of Santa Cruz, enduring many of the hardships of being homeless. However, the following are my observations and recommendations to this council. 1, I don't think that there should be any campground granted to the street people for the following reasons. 1, it would curtail their incentive to continue to grow and be productive. 2, it would create a gravy train atmosphere wherein people will not be motivated to become totally wholesome and meaningful in this community. FEMA grants have been issued to this community, 2 of them, the former, larger than the second. I would strongly urge this council to direct those grants towards institutions and systems that are already in place and not create new bureaucracies, especially in Point William James associations, people that have been getting it from left and the right. My experience in the last 7 years has been that people that live in the street have turned the surrounding areas and the mountains of this community into similarities of Lampico, and I need say no more. I want to say that I thank Mr. Stone for his compliment. I am a Democrat, and because I am, I feel the ability to speak freely and openly. Since I've been in the streets of Santa Cruz, I've encountered a new element since my last bout with being an advocate for street people. I've encountered insolence, arrogance, and just downright honoriness. I've noticed a great deal of disrespect. I think that this council, and it is my hope that the next administration gives cognizance to the needs of the business members of this community and to them all. The spitting, the cursing, the arrogance, the insolence, the loitering, the disregard for law and order is just beyond me. And I say, if we must legalize something, let's legalize wakefulness. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional oral communications. Seeing none, we'll move on to our consent agenda. I'll begin right here with Arnie. Is there any?
Is there additional oral communication tonight?
Good evening. My name is Rocky Stone. I have a petition here. We, the people of Santa Cruz, want the trophy hunting of endangered species to stop. Stop killing the bighorn sheep, the ringtail bobcat, the mountain lion and timber wolf, and the yule deer. No more slaughter of these endangered friends. Please help us stop this carnage. I'd like anyone that cares to on City Council to sign this. This petition is going to be around the country, and we're going to submit it to Wildlife Department to try to stop the hunt of these endangered species. Second of all, gray whales. We're concerned that there's not enough awareness being circulated amongst the news, amongst City Council people, reaching out to the corporations, the millionaires, and people in general that can help purchase the property and make it into a state or federal park. This beautiful area, if any of you have been up in there, is a backpacker's dream. Lots of neat caves, lots of places where people have hardly even been. The area would increase tourist revenue in the Santa Cruz area, combined with all the other parks that we've been working on, Wingspread and Monarch. If anybody cares to, I like to trying to block the hunt of these endangered animals with our personage dressed up as said animals. We stand the chance ourselves to be murdered by the hunters in a step to try to block the hunt. So in regards to gray whales, I sure hope that a lot of people can maybe write some letters or something and really reach out to Nabisco, whoever around. There's lots of them. We've been massively bombarding letters everywhere, trying to create awareness about gray whales. I sure hope somebody can help. And in regards to homeless issues, it's still a big problem, and whatever anyone can do to help out in that area, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Is there other oral communication tonight?
Good evening. Do we call you Madam Mayor? Mayor?
No, you don't call me any of that. You can either call me Mayor Wormhout or you can call me Marty.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Marty. Okay. About a week ago...
Excuse me, would you like to identify yourself?
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's Jane Immler. Okay. About a week ago, the shelter evaluation team was at the River Street Shelter for a meeting. Shortly after they arrived, one of the members of the evaluation team detected a peculiar odor. She echoed her concerns to some of the other people there. No one else smelled it. Make a long story short, shortly they did. And they made an inspection, and they discovered that a woman had fallen asleep in one of the rooms smoking a cigarette. Her pillow was on fire, and her hair was singed. There is a smoke detection system in the shelter, but it did not operate. And the reason it did not operate is because apparently it has not been very operative since at the beginning of the shelter. This is according to the management. The shelter... this was detected originally about 3 months ago by the shelter evaluation team. And management there said that it was a problem with the system. Then in checking with a rehab here, they said that that's not true, that the first alarm people who put that in are saying it's a problem with who's ever handling it at the shelter. I'm not concerned about whose problem it is. I'm concerned about that people are not being protected. There's not a legitimate, active, viable fire protection system in place there that's actually working. And I think that what happened the other day could have been a real tragedy. And I would like to ask the City Council to investigate this and see that this is inoperational at all times. That's the first thing. Secondly, this last week has seen one homeless man murdered and two severely beaten. And I think it is essential that the members of the City Council, when they're speaking about the homeless activists, are very sensitive about what they say. When you, Marty Wormhout, speak in terms of deriding the activities of the homeless activists, such as you did last week, saying that the work we were doing was actually discrediting the Citizens Committee and the residents who had put efforts into that, I'm sure you know that I, along with Paige Smith and Paul Lee, actually founded the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and would not do things that were going to detract from what was done there. What we have been attempting to point out, and I think this is just another example, is the human and civil rights abuses that are going on due to the laws and some of the practices going on in the city and county. And I think that you need to be very sensitive to those things because, you know, that just fuels those people who are out there that are sickos and like to do these kind of things. And that's also true for Mr. Laird, who frequently has gone before the media and said that he's interested in helping people that are there because of necessity, but the people that choose that kind of lifestyle, he's not interested in helping. Well, having worked with probably well over 40,000 homeless, I would say that maybe there's a handful that are truly there by choice. They will tell you that because they really have no choice. And so I think that here again, you need to be very careful the way you talk, and I thank you very much.
Is there further oral communication tonight? We seem to be talking about the shelter situation and the homeless situation. We've had about 4 minutes of testimony. You have until 8 o'clock. on this subject, at which point we will move on to other oral communication subjects or the regular agenda. So please continue, but be aware, however much time you take, it's that much less for other people before 8 o'clock on this subject.
My name is Linda Edwards, and this is in regards to a campsite. And I think it would be nice to get a campsite for the homeless and set it up like for 1 month on a trial basis, if you would, and, you know, give us a chance to, you know, prove that, you know, we can take care of it, like no alcohol and drugs and all that stuff. And they're like people like me. We don't do drugs or alcohol, and we're homeless, but we want to help other homeless people or who are misfortunate and find some way that's not, you know, dealing with using a lot of money, because we know how to do that, and, you know, setting up for food and sanitation and, you know, just a small piece of land. And a lot of people, I think, if they had a chance to, you know, help set up something like this, they would get more motivated toward, like, getting off the street, because a lot of times they're just there, don't know what to do with yourself. And, you know, instead of just being on the street and being homeless and doing drugs and stuff, a lot of times they do it because they have nothing better to do. And we'd just like for you to maybe give us a chance to prove ourselves. If, you know, for 1 month, especially for the winter, because it's raining and all that stuff, and it's really bad. And we would just like to have, you know, like I said, just 1 month, you know, to prove that, you know, we're more than just a bunch of street people and bums, because most of us aren't. We just maybe don't really fit into society so good, but we'd like to take care of each other. And I think maybe a piece of land somewhere big enough to set up a little thing, you know, maybe for, like I said, for a month, and see how it works out. If it don't work out, then okay. But, you know, we'd appreciate it, just to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards.
Hi, I'm Brian Kepke, P.O. Box 7772, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. I work with the local peace movement, the peace offices, the environmental offices. It's an honor for me to serve the homeless. Hopefully in the spring I'll be speaking before the Congressional Committee on Hunger in Washington. You're still supporting a law that's specifically designed against one social or economic class of people, namely the homeless. You designed the law to be used against the homeless. It's being carried out against the homeless. It makes it illegal for them to sleep at night. I spend a lot of sleepless nights wondering why you can't call that law what it is. Discrimination. Okay. Is it still legal to camp out in the county? Ask Anders Kaur. He has testified before your committee. He's written letters to several of you. He's been in jail since October 24th. 1 month ago, he was found camping in the county. I went before the Board of County Supervisors today, and I asked for them to cooperate with your council in setting up the sanctuary zone for campers. Don't you think this would eliminate what's called the public eyesore? Don't you think this would alleviate the problem of people hanging out downtown with nowhere else to go? Don't you think it would get some people out of the city where they camp out wherever they can and crawl into cars or under park benches or wherever, you know? And I'm hoping you can cooperate with us in setting up this kind of sanctuary zone, and also that you can cooperate with the county supervisors. If anybody wants to talk with me about the homeless issue, I'll be at the clock tower tomorrow from 4 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday. I'm always there on Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It's the peace vigil. And, of course, Friday, the city's, Citizens Committee for the Homeless is going to be meeting not far from here from 2 to 4 p.m. on Friday. That's going to be at the Calvary Church. You know, you're invited to attend that also. And let's see. Yeah, and the police. and they're going out of their way to try and get rid of homeless people downtown. And I've read the trespassing law, and it says that the owner of the property or the manager or the person in charge should tell a person, you know, to leave, should inform them that they should leave if they think they're trespassing or in the way or something. And the police are just coming up and telling people, well, you have to leave or I'll arrest you. That's what's happening in the rain out there. Okay. So I hope you're able to cooperate with us. I like this council, really. I like how the election turned out. I like who's on the board and things, and I hope we're able to cooperate towards a positive solution for the homeless problem.
Thank you, Mr. Kapke.
Hello, my name is John Macedo. I just want to remind you of the severity of the homeless poverty and detoxification problem in America and in Santa Cruz. The time has come for a revolutionary detox shelter now, and I realize there are many right now who may be incurable, but there are also many who need and want help. And right now, may need help for 6 months or longer for mental adjustment. We must take the chance in America and in Santa Cruz. I believe we have the money to do this for many people. Right now, I have two or three friends staying sober, and it's sad because I don't think they're going to make it. And there may come a day when you or a loved one may be in this situation and need it. And as elected officials, you should care about everyone. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Evening. My name is Robert Norris, and I, too, am hopeful of a real change of direction here and what's been happening with all of us in terms of the sleeping ban and the homeless situation generally, though I know some of you still maintain the same feelings you always had, yet I'm hopeful that possibly with this new council we can begin to reconsider things that we had thought were decided, just because perhaps at times it's good to take a second look, because the weather is getting wetter, because people are suffering more as a consequence of the current legal situation. So I'm proposing, and I passed around to some of you, or I tried to, a compromise plan that I'm spoken to you, to some of you, about privately. This plan is essentially concerns with a temporary suspension of the sleeping ban in a particular part of the city to be coupled for a period of a month, to be coupled with a committee to be set up by the council, which shall investigate homeless issues, and most specifically the problem of a campground to be used for temporary emergency shelter. And I would urge you to consider this proposal, and I and others will be trying to contact each of you personally to talk to you about it, to get some input from the experience that you have, each of you have had in your years of public service. That coupled with an amnesty for people who are currently afraid because they have sleeping offenses to seek social services. I call it a Thanksgiving amnesty, something where we can all kind of start off on a new foot. And in return, I'm thinking that homeless people who have been extremely upset with the council in the past will declare a moratorium themselves on demonstrations, sleep-ins, speak-ins, so that this matter can be discussed peaceably, reasonably, in a forum where they have a voice and where their voices will be heard. That's what I'm presenting to you, and I have copies of this for anybody in the audience who may be interested in this plan. I do want to say something else, and this is a little in kind of a different tone. I myself, several weeks ago, was planning to demonstrate at the council meeting when the old council was having its last meeting. And 5 minutes before that demonstration was to begin, I was seized on a warrant surreptitiously obtained earlier in the day. I was taken to jail. The picket signs that I had with me were confiscated, and I was held for 44 hours on $2,000 bail, after which time the charge was dropped. That was bad enough. 7 days later, I received a letter from the DA telling me that the same charges were raised once again. Now, the charges were dropped, but then the charges were raised again. Why? If this is not harassment, I wonder what it is, and I encourage the City Council to look into this matter, and I ask the Police Department and the DA to consider carefully what they're doing here. It seems to me what is called for is an acknowledgement that a mistake has been made, preferably within 48 hours, and an apology, a public apology, and a dismissal of these charges, because they will be dismissed again. I think that we're trying to enter a period of compromise and of negotiation here and trying to represent everybody's interests in this matter. And these kinds of actions can only lead to more embitterment and more fear among homeless people if homeless activists are being prosecuted in this way. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. North.
My name is John Telfair, and I'm a spokesperson of the anti-state psychiatry rights and liberation movement, and I'm also involved in the homeless activist movement because there's there's quite a correlation between the two situations. I support pretty much what Robert and what Linda said. I think that an amnesty would be a big help. I think that a campground, a tryout of a campground, would be an excellent thing to cool things down, and especially this time of year, with the rainy season and so on. I really believe that the homeless problem is just not going to go away. I think now that we have a new start, a new city council, I really believe there is a strong possibility that conciliation and all-around goodwill can be established. So I just want to second what has been said, and I give my support to that, to the a possible amnesty, also a suspension, possibly a temporary suspension of the camping ban, and support for some kind of campground, possibly at one of the parks like Harvey West, where there are showers, where there are toilet facilities, where there is running water. Somewhere like that, I think, might be something to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Telfair. We have about 2 minutes left, so you will be our last speaker on this subject.
All right. My name is Alan M. Chuval. I merely wanted to say that if a person's camping in the woods and is on private property, give them a trespassing ticket. If they're littering, give them a littering ticket. They carry greater offenses, greater penalties. What does that have to do with the person lying their head? Personally, I feel it's a cloak of malice on behalf of the city. Also, there's a lot of defrauding going on with the people in this society, a lot of timidity. And it's not unlawful in the Bible or by man's law that a man should sleep, as far as I'm concerned. And truly, what I have seen here is a hardening of hearts, and God has caused you people to make this ordinance. And personally, I think it's a work of debauchery, act of immorality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do want to take a moment to respond on this subject, because I'm sure there are many people here tonight on the council and in the council chambers who are concerned about the issue of shelter, particularly given that it's very cold and rainy outside. And I'm very glad to inform you that due to the cooperative efforts of the public sector and the private sector, the generosity of the churches, and the generosity of many private citizens, at this point, anyone who is in need of shelter and is showing up for shelter is being sheltered. Nobody is being turned away for lack of space. Between the beds that are available at the River Street shelter and the beds that are available through the church satellite program, no one is being turned away for lack of space. And I think that that is a record that Santa Cruz can be extremely proud of. I don't know of another community that is doing that well. Furthermore, should the need become greater as the winter continues, there are contingency plans that are already in place to provide more beds should they be needed. I think that that response is an expression of the generosity and goodwill of this community. I don't particularly think myself that sleeping in cars or camping in the rain is a good solution to homelessness. I think we're doing what we can to provide beds and food and medical care and employment counseling for those people who are homeless and need those services. And I think that that direction has been established by this council and will be continue to be the direction in which we go. I think we can do that, and I do not believe that there is a sentiment to turn Santa Cruz into a public campground. I personally don't support it, and I don't believe that this city council does. Furthermore, I want to say in relation to Mr. Kopke's remarks, I do not believe that the police are harassing the homeless. I do not believe that there is a particular emphasis on going out and trying to find people who are camping. I have the statistics for camping arrests for the last 3 years, month by month, and the statistics simply do not bear that out. I wish all of you well, but I will tell you that I think that the way in which this city has reacted to provide shelter is positive and is an expression of the goodness of people's hearts in this community, and I think it's an adequate response and one we can all feel good about. Are there additional subjects for oral communication tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Matt Farrell. I live at 922 Windsor Street. I'm here tonight as a city employee. I'd like to present